All right, this is Art Chonak, and we're on the MLM Networking Big Al Cruise here. And I want to welcome those of you listening into this tape. We've got an extra special treat for you today. This is a tape set that you'll probably want to keep on your shelves as a reference for a mighty long time. Probably listen to over and over and over and over to again, because I know I will once this interview is done. The gentleman that I'm here with, we were surprised to even have him on the cruise. It was a pleasant surprise. And it was about 8 years ago that I first met him. We were doing an event in Reno, Nevada. He came in with a bunch of other master network marketers. And I saw him speak on stage. I was mesmerized, the command that he had of the audience. And they had these breakout sessions. And every one of the speakers would go into the separate rooms to do breakouts. They had to do 5 in a row. And I found myself in 3 of them going to this gentleman's breakout because he was sharing just so much good information. A couple years later, there was a transcript that showed up on my desk as I was working for a publishing company. It was a book, manuscript of a book called Mach 2 with Your Hair on Fire. And I saw the title. There was a whole lot of other stuff that I had to get to. And I said, this is a manuscript I need to read. I opened it up. I started reading it. And in there was a concept about crafting your vision. I said, I better just go ahead and do this quickly. I wrote a vision, didn't think too much about it. And that was a mistake because a couple years later, I found it, that manuscript. I saw what I had written, and 9 out of 10 things that were on there had already come true for me. And a lot of them were great. A lot of them I wish I had thought through better because I would have written down some more impressive vision on there. And that was just one manuscript. Since that time, I've seen this gentleman speak in front of thousands of people, and the people that he's been coaching and affecting, it becomes very clear to me sometimes when I'm talking to a leader that they've been around this gentleman or have been coached by this gentleman. So I want to welcome to all of you, Mr. Richard Bliss Brook. Richard, welcome to the tape.
Thank you, Art.
Richard, what I'd like to talk about, what my agenda is for this tape, is leadership. And I know it's often a term that's overused and spoken about by a lot of so-called experts on leadership out there, and some of the information is very good. What I've seen you do is develop leaders. And once I've heard you say that network marketing is not necessarily about the products, but it's actually a personal development company disguised as a product delivery company or something along those lines. And that stuck with me, and I think this is why I want to just chat with you about leadership. What is a leader? Let's just start with that. Let's just define, what would a leader be? What is a leader to you?
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of deep ways to explain it, but I think that the simplest form of it is what I relate to the most and what I think applies most to our business is, a leader is somebody that causes people to move in a certain direction that they probably wouldn't move to on their own. And, in the network marketing business, unlike traditional sales or direct sales, the way we move a lot of product is we get a lot of people involved in what we're doing. And network marketing is not yet a business concept that people flock to on their own initiative. Most of the people we know aren't running to find their next network marketing opportunity. And that's because they don't understand it or they misunderstand it. It's just not something they're inclined to do. And so leadership is incredibly important here because a leader causes people to move in a certain direction and then stay moving in that direction. And that's how we build our organizations, is leadership. It's all about leadership. That's what makes network marketing work long term.
So, a leader, what would a leader say? Or what would a leader do? What are some of the things that you'd see a leader doing? Or how do they think? Let's go a little bit more into the idea of a leader, what a leader is.
Well, a leader would say things that, first of all, would inspire other people. Say things that followers would cause followers to think, to maybe think about things they don't normally think about things in a way they don't normally think about it, think about themselves in an empowering way. A leader says things that causes people to feel good about themselves, to have positive expectations about the future. A leader says things that challenges people, that causes people to rise up their competitive spirit, the spirit within them that, you know, challenges them to do better, to go places they've never gone before. A leader speaks the truth in a way that empowers people. Sometimes that takes a lot of courage to speak the truth to people in a way that empowers them. I think the most important thing that a leader says is a leader uses words to craft the vision that the leader has. That's something else a leader has that followers don't necessarily have, is the leader has a vision of where the leader is going, and that leader and the vision contributes to the people that the leader wants to follow. It's not, the vision's not about the leader. The vision is about, you know, here's a place we can go. Here's something we can accomplish, and there's payoffs for all of us. So it's a contribution to all the followers. And then back to what a leader says, a leader speaks that vision in a way that attracts people to the vision. So people get it. They're clear about it. They see what the contribution is.
So if you see a leader working with his group, for example, on the cruise here, there are several leaders. And when we get into the meeting, Orion, for example, comes to mind. It's pretty clear that he's crafted a vision.
Very clear vision, and he speaks it very powerfully.
When a leader is working with their group, when does this crafting, this leading, this helping somebody do something they wouldn't have done if the leader wasn't there, when does that happen? Is that a one-on-one situation? Is that a conference call situation? Where does this happen?
Well, in terms of the vision, that's an evolving thing. You know, a leader may start with one vision, and it's constantly evolving. As long as the leader has a vision that can contribute to other people, the leader can continue to improve that, enhance it, can even change it radically, as long as the leader continues to speak it powerfully to the group. As far as getting people to go places they wouldn't normally be inclined to go, the leader does that in a lot of different ways and does that all the time. And one of the most important things that a leader does in that regard is the leader does things that other people, and I'll use this word specifically, are afraid to do. You know, so here's some examples of things leaders do. Leaders get up in front of the room and speak. Or maybe in the venue is a conference call. If there is a conference call, you'll see the leader speaking on the conference call. If there is a meeting, you'll see the leader up in front of the room speaking at the meeting. Why? Well, because it needs to be done, one, and two, because other people are afraid to do it. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the things that defines a leader. And so other people look at somebody that is willing to do something that they're afraid to do. It might be prospecting. It might be asking closing questions. It might be coaching by asking direct, honest, intruding questions. It might be telling the truth. It might be speaking on the conference call. It might be speaking in front of the room. It might be investing money. It might be traveling to a conference. Whatever the followers are afraid to do, the leader stands out when the leader does it. And the leaders and the followers basically, when they see somebody doing something they're afraid to do, they just basically anoint that person leader.
Mm-hmm. Now, use the word followers. To me, I almost have a sense of maybe negative with that. Obviously, you're not using it that way.
Not at all. People move in and out of these roles. You know, for example, if I have an organization of 10,000 people and I am their leader, well, then hopefully all 10,000 of those people are following me, and within the 10,000 people are hundreds and hundreds of leaders. Mm-hmm. So they play both a dual role. They lead and they follow. And there's also a time when, as their leader, I follow. And it's odd, but one of the great characteristics of really powerful leaders is they also know when to follow themselves. And that might be following somebody in their downline on a particular issue, down a particular venue. Or it might be following something in a broader sense, like within the whole industry, or like that. Leaders do both. They lead and follow.
There are times as a leader where you create a vision. You have, maybe you come on a cruise like this and you see other leaders that have done so much. Or for whatever reason, you read a book or something inspires you to say, look, what I'd like to see happen is to have a group of this size next year, whatever the particular vision is. And the vision might seem to you as a leader a little big.
Yes.
Because it's pushing you out of your comfort zone. How do you overcome now sharing that vision with your team and maybe having the worry that they're just going to laugh? Or you're stepping up to the leadership role, you want to create the vision, and there's always a sense of, what if this doesn't go right?
Right. You might look kind of silly. Well, I think one of the ways that you can create room for that is part of the conversation that you would put out as a leader throughout the whole organization is we can't, as leaders and followers, be afraid to point over the fence, to stake a claim that we're going to do something extraordinary for fear that we might fail. We need to build a new interpretation around claiming and staking greatness and pointing over the fence, that just because we make a promise we're going to do something extraordinary and we don't accomplish it, that's not negative. That's not a failing. That's not bad. You know, there's a cliche. What is it? Shoot for the stars, and if you fall short, you know, you jump over the moon, which is, you know, a lot farther than most people would do anyway. So we need a new interpretation, and for a leader to be able to stake that claim and build a culture within the organization of staking the claim, the leader needs to promote pointing over the fence and proclaiming great goals and great commitments is a noble thing regardless of the outcome. And when you build that into the culture, then everybody starts doing it, and people celebrate that they fell, you know, halfway short, because they still accomplished something extraordinary. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, a leader, the whole organization may be afraid to stake those kind of claims and state those kind of goals, and it's the leaders that do it anyway. Because, again, they're doing something that other people are afraid to do.
Is there anything that comes to mind, maybe a leader that you've coached or maybe yourself, where you've set this lofty goal, maybe it felt uncomfortable, you did it anyway, what happened?
Well, there's numerous stories throughout our industry about people that have, said they're going to, triple their volume overnight, or they're going to build an extraordinary company or extraordinary organization, and it didn't happen. What I've noticed about those people is the followers of the organization, after the timeline's over, or, you know, if they said, I'm going to do it by next year, when next year came around, people didn't pay any attention to whether or not they accomplished the goal. What was created in the process was that person was proclaimed leader. And so they transformed themselves within the organization just by staking the claim and pointing over the fence. Mm-hmm. And people didn't pay attention to whether or not they accomplished the goal. Nobody came up to them like, hey, you know, what happened to the, 100% annual growth? Or what happened to the $10,000 a month you said you were going to earn? When people are inspired by leadership, they're not petty with, conversations that don't contribute, like, you know, how come you didn't do what you said you're going to do? There's a difference between making integrity promises, doing what you say you're going to do, and pointing over the fence to inspire people. Mm-hmm. When people are inspired, they rally behind that.
One side of it is they won't make it to the stars. But I've seen a lot of times where the leader makes this bold claim and they get there.
Sure.
So there's always the possibility that we get there. So we don't necessarily even want to manifest that you will fall short. That's not the goal. The goal is that you will get there. But if you happen to fall short, no big deal. You're further than you would have been.
I can think of many times when leaders rocked along month after month after month and produced so-so results, and then you know, something happened to Thump Their Bull. It might have been a company contest. It might have been something they read. They might have got challenged. Maybe they, you know, looked bad in a meeting because they weren't producing as much as they thought they should. Something happened to cause them just to say to themselves, I'm going to do X. You know, I'm going to advance to the next level. I'm going to win that contest. I'm going to break the $10,000 a month barrier, the what, $20,000 a month barrier. And just the proclamation, I am going to do this, and saying it in a way, in a spiritual way, with every fiber of their body, people go out and produce more in the next 30 days, 60 days than they have in their entire career. And if you ask them, you know, how'd you do it? About the only thing I've ever heard them say intelligent about how they did it is they just would not be denied. Mm-hmm. No matter what, they were going to make it happen.
There's a certain feeling you get in your whole body when you make a statement or a commitment like that. It just, if those of you listening, you know what I'm talking about. If you've done it, it just, you kind of vibrate and your mind goes clear. And you say, this is what I'm going to do. When you share that with your group, does it become more powerful? Does it disempower you? How do you handle the risk? I mean, there's the whole risk factor we're kind of talking about here. Might be some people listening right now thinking, hey, I want to take that risk, but I'm afraid to take that risk. Is that risk a lot bigger in their mind than the risk really is? Talk about that a little bit.
Well, I think it depends on the culture of the organization. If it's an organization that doesn't make lots of room for risk-taking, for failure, for setbacks, for leadership to unfold, then, yeah, there might be some political risk in you standing up in front of the room and proclaiming you're going to do something extraordinary. You know, you may get the organization to start a lot of gossip about you if you go bold that way. And you don't have to proclaim it to the whole world. The most important person that hears your proclamations, your declarations, your commitment about what you're going to do is you. And if you find that you're in an organization, or perhaps you ought to create an organization that supports the unfolding of leadership and supports people pointing over the fence regardless of the outcome, then as the organization supports that kind of conversation, people can step forward and make stronger declarations.
Now, you own a network marketing company. You're also in the field building the business. I've been to one of your conventions, and I've noticed that, at least from the companies that I've been to, you had a very strong group of leaders there that there's this technology, I don't know what to call it, it's called listening. But it's more than just being heard. It's being listened to as a leader, for example. That kind of goes into where you just left it at. Is there a culture where there is a group of people that you're working with, your team, where you can take that risk because they view you as a leader? They understand what you're doing. If you're somebody that wants to be a leader or wants to be viewed as a leader, what can you go out to do with the people that you're associating, the group that you're working with, maybe your upline, maybe even the company? And is there a way that you can get them to view you as a leader if they're not viewing you as a leader right now?
Yeah, it might sound a little silly, but honesty is can create enormous progress in relationships and how people see you. So If your desire is to become a leader and you are in an organization that perhaps there aren't clearly defined rules or not clearly defined support for leadership development, and you are secretly looking to be seen as a leader, then people have to sort of figure out that that's what you're up to, and they may not figure it out on your schedule. So what I think supports that process is for you to tell your organization, hey, this is what I want to do. I want to become a leader. I want to be seen as a leader. Mm-hmm. I want you to hear me as a leader. I want you to hold me accountable as a leader. And start to train your organization to support you in your development and your unfoldment. And I think people will find it amazing how the organization will support that kind of honesty when somebody says, you may not see me as a leader now, but my commitment is for you all to see me as a leader. And here are the things that I'm going to be doing for you to see me as a leader. And my request is that you empower me in that process. You know, you can have a choice. You can criticize me and tear me down, when I fail or I look kind of silly or I'm fumbling around, or you can support me and champion me. And my request is that you support me and champion me. And I think when you're honest and direct and vulnerable that way with people, all they can do is support you. Mm-hmm.